Despite barely reaching 90 miles an hour with his fastball, Sergio Romo was legitimately one of the best relievers in the game for a long time. And guess what? He's back with the San Francisco Giants.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts, including YouTube, so check us out there. Hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube to get this show every day. And coming up on the show, as I discussed there a moment ago, Sergio Romo, who is, how old is Sergio Romo? He is 40 years old. He is back with the San Francisco Giants. Andrew Baggerly breaking the story. It's not what you might think. He's not going to make this team. He is back to essentially retire as a Giant, and it's a non-roster deal, so he's not going to be on the 40-man. He's going to report to spring training. He has a physical. They're like going through all the works there, but he's going to be in camp, and then I think the plan is that he will pitch in front of the Oracle Park crowd one more time when the Giants play their little exhibition series against the A's, which is less than 2 weeks away. It's just barely over 1 week away. And so that's going to be the plan. And so obviously a popular move, Sergio Romo, one of the most popular players of that era, that championship era. And like I said, I mean, he was such an interesting pitcher because he's not a big guy. He was always kind of skinny and undersized and he didn't throw hard. And yet he was legitimately one of the best relievers in the game for a long time. In his Giants career, he ended up with over 439 innings and he pitched 439 and two-thirds innings. He had a 2.58 earned run average during that time. And what he did was he threw his slider. He was ahead of his time in that, you know, the fastball, generally speaking in the sport of baseball, we call the fastball the primary pitch and the other pitches are like secondary pitches. But for Romo, the slider was the primary pitch. And these days, I mean, he might have been one of the pioneering reasons for this, but these days, that's what teams do, is if you have a really good pitch, if it's a slider, they don't want you throwing your fastball more of the time than the really good pitch. We saw it basically with like Jacob Junis last year. It was slider, slider, slider. So that was the story with Romo. I'm actually looking it up. And yeah, for in his career, he threw the slider 54% of the time. I would venture to say that these days, like if he played in today's game, teams would encourage him to throw it probably even more than that because it was just such a good pitch. Mike Kruko said it was the no-dot slider. I don't know if that's like necessarily why it was so good, but basically the hitters, what that means is like normally as a hitter, you can see like if there's a little dot that's formed by the seams kind of spinning, it makes a little red dot and you can kind of see that as a hitter and recognize, okay, this is a slider. But for Romo, that obviously they couldn't tell it was a slider because he could just throw it time and time again and the hitters would chase out of the zone. Like it would just sweep away from a right-handed hitter and they would swing and it wouldn't be in the strike zone and they would be out. So he was just so good with that pitch and had really good command, really didn't like walk anybody. His fastball, yeah, let me look at average velocities in his career. It never once averaged 90 miles an hour. It was always in the 80s for his career. It averaged 87 and a half miles an hour. So and then of course famously, you know, freezing Miguel Cabrera, because that's the thing, if you're slider, 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 the hitters start to look for it and then you've got your 88 mile an hour fastball and he had two seam movement. So the slider breaking, you know, away from a righty and the two seamer breaking into a righty. So then World Series 2012, Game 4, Giants up 3-0 in the series. one-run game. I mean, Miguel Cabrera was the best player in the game at that moment. And if he hits a homer, the game's tied. And then, you know, that World Series, I mean, it was the Giants were one out away from sweeping, but still, it was a one-run game there. And so anyway, he goes to the two-seamer that totally fools Miguel Cabrera, and he doesn't even get a swing off, even though the pitch catches a lot of the strike zone, and that was it. So Sergio Romo, very popular player in the clubhouse with the fans, very kind of interesting, introspective guy. Some quotes here, courtesy of Andrew Baggerly. He basically said, like, he discovered that he belongs in San Francisco. Even when he played here, he didn't yet realize that he belonged, like, physically in San Francisco, where he now apparently lives. I didn't even know that. And then in terms of signing with the Giants and getting this opportunity, this non-roster deal with the Giants, getting this opportunity to pitch one more time in front of the Oracle Park fans, he says, to come full circle means a lot. Hunter got to do it. Pablo got a chance to do it. Matt Cain, he was blessed to play his whole career in one place. So this is humbling. Not trying to be too inappropriate, but it's effing dope, you know? And then he goes on to say, the one thing I don't want to do that I'm afraid I probably will do is end up crying. I don't know emotionally how I'm going to feel, not only running out there, but walking off. If we were all to write out on a piece of paper a dream scenario like, this is what you want to happen, I still couldn't have written it as well as it happened in all aspects. Forever Giant, you hear that, Forever Giant. And for me, that's what's up. I mean that. Forever grateful, legitimately, that's what's up. And I can imagine as he's saying this, he probably was starting to tear up. Just an emotional guy, just like an interesting kind of guy, and very popular, of course, and very good. Like, no lie, that's what's up. He was really, really good and had such a big part in the success of that championship era team. And so anyway, very happy about that. And, you know, a lot of the upcoming games are going to be televised or live streamed, including, of course, those games against the A's. So, hey, check them out. And you might be able to see Sergio Romo pitch. And then, of course, you can go to that game and bid him farewell. That game in San Francisco, I believe, is on the 27th. So about, 11 days away. Anyway, coming up in just a minute, we're going to turn our attention from one former great reliever to a current great reliever on the Giants, Camilo Doval, looking nasty in the WBC. So we'll talk about what we saw out of Doval, and then also, man, how about this? Edwin Diaz injured in the WBC, so much more to get into in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything, from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Always a lot of Golden State Warriors opportunities to check out, including their championship odds, which have been kind of fluctuating as they've gone on a little hot streak recently. And also the WBC is something I've, you know, Team USA, people sleeping on them a little bit. I know their pitching isn't the greatest, but hey, they get through to the next round in Miami. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Dominican Republic was the favorite in the betting market, and they've been knocked off. So all this you can check out at FanDuel and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, as promised, we are going to discuss the nastiness of Camilo Doval. I'm kind of obsessed with Camilo Doval, just in terms of the kind of development that we saw last year. He was already good, and then he's just gotten better with the introduction of the sinker. And so if you listen to this show every day, you might be tired of me talking about this. And if you follow me on Twitter, you might be tired of me tweeting about this. But I just feel like generally speaking, people are continuing to sleep on just what a difference it made when Doval introduced his sinker. And where it begins is that I think there's always been a lot of misinformation about the problems that Doval had. Like, people complained or like criticized his heavy slider usage. When he first showed up to the majors, he was just slider and four seamer. It gets classified as a cutter. It's really not a cutter. It's like the hard fastball when he just rears back and it doesn't. The sinker is easy to see because if there's a righty in the box and he throws hard, but it kind of breaks in to the right-handed hitter and sinks a little bit, but the movement towards that righty in the box and down, that's the sinker. Whereas the other pitch, it doesn't move in at all. If anything, it cuts a little bit away from the righty, but it's mostly just a straight pitch. And so that's what he threw. He threw a 100-plus mile-an-hour straight-ish fastball and a slider, which is like low 90s to high 80s. And people criticized, why doesn't he throw the fastball more? Even if you listen to a broadcast, the broadcasters are saying he just doesn't trust that fastball. Well, if you look at the numbers, his slider was just such an elite pitch by results. Like if you look at what did the league do against the slider and what did they do against the fastball, they hit the fastball hard. And so the reason he didn't throw it as much is because it just simply wasn't as good of a pitch. I can pull up the numbers here. Let's just say in his rookie season in 2021, the league hit 259 off the fastball with a 481 slugging. So those are robust numbers. It's a weighted on base average of 381. League average is going to be like 310 or so. So the league had much better results than kind of average against that pitch, even though it averaged like 99 miles an hour. Against the slider, the league hit 167 with a 278 slugging, a weighted on base average of 202. So like 100 points better than league average results when he threw the slider, which he threw it 58% of the time and the fastball only 41% of the time in 2021. So I just don't get it. Like I don't want to say lazy analysis because these numbers, sometimes we don't know where to look to find them, but like that's why he threw the slider a lot and didn't, that's why he was primary a slider thrower. We're just talking about Romo here. The difference is you're like, well, Duvall throws 100 and Romo threw 88, but results are results. And that pitch just got hit hard. And so, you know, there's a reason he didn't throw it most of the time. It's one of those things where like major league hitters, if you have just like a straight fastball, they can get to velocity. Your pitch kind of needs better characteristics in order to be a good pitch. It can't just be hard. It can't just be firm. It has to have, you know, deception and movement and stuff. And for whatever reason, that pitch just isn't a great pitch for Duvall per se, except when you start mixing in the sinker. That's why I get giddy when I talk about it, because so like in July of last year, Duvall started throwing a sinker, which is basically similar velocity to that bad high velocity fastball that was getting hit hard, except it moves into the righty. And so suddenly you've got something that moves in to a righty, away to a lefty. It's just for the sake of explaining the characteristic, I talk about the righty, but it also moves. It's also effective against a lefty. It's effective against everybody. And so you've got one pitch breaking into the righty and one pitch with the slider that breaks heavily away from the righty. And then you've got the four-seamer that is just like even firmer. And so suddenly it just like unlocked everything for Duvall. And the end results on the sinker, he started throwing it most of the time. So his final mix was kind of 26% sinkers, but he didn't throw it for half the year. And so it was primarily, I think it was like 66% sinkers once he started throwing it regularly. And the league hit 242, which is, you know, like league average-ish batting average, but they only slugged 274. So it was a weighted on base average of 296. But the kicker for me was the launch angle, negative 17 degrees on this sinker. For Duvall, negative 17. The leaders in the game for like overall picks, pitch mixes, not just for an individual pitch. Actually, let me just say this. If you set the minimum to like 200 pitches or whatever, however many he threw, if you set the minimum to around that number, no individual pitch in the game had a lower average launch angle against it. And so this pitch, which averaged 98.4 miles an hour, hitters just hit straight into the ground, basically. And so, you know, some have asked me, why do we care that he's getting ground balls? It's like, the hitters are going to put the ball in play sometimes. And when they do, it's a good thing that it's on the ground because damage doesn't happen on the ground. Of course, you know, hits can happen on the ground, but when you get hits on balls in the air, that's when you get your homers and your extra base hits. But usually the worst that happens on a single or on a ground ball is a single, and often it's an out. If you just look at league average numbers on just, if we just know the batter hit a ball on the ground, it's just way below average offense. Ground balls are good for pitchers to get. So he's got this 98 mile an hour sinker that just had the best launch angle against it of any pitch. And then the slider continued to be wipeout with the league hitting 158 against it with a 226 slugging. And get this, the four seamer just still had not great results. The cutter, as it's classified, the league hit 340 with a 604 slugging. It's a 450 weighted on base average. And again, this is scaled so that the league average weighted on base average is the league average on base percentage, which was around last year, like 310-ish. And so, you know, 140 points worse than average on that pitch that averaged 99.4 miles an hour. It's just, it gets hit hard. But I think, you know, when we saw highlights of him like striking people out on 104 mile an hour pitches, that's the pitch. And so if you can just like mix it in as a surprise, when you're also throwing that sinker and slider, it unlocks the whole thing. And so that's why I'm giddy about Camilo Doval. And we saw it last night in the WBC. He pitched for the Dominican team and he just looked nasty. And he was throwing that upper 90s sinker. He was throwing the slider. It was incorrectly mentioned by Dave Fleming that the slider was what got him into trouble. If he's ever getting into trouble, it was the slider. It's not. It's the four-seam fastball slash cutter, which doesn't really cut. But I don't know. He's just such a like bright spot for the Giants. I know it's a reliever. You'd rather, you know, have a position player or a starting pitcher, but like still, you'll take the huge success that Doval has been thus far. He's only 25 years old. He's under club control through the 2027 season, so for a long time. So he and Logan Webb and Tyro Estrada, they've just got some solid players that they've gotten to like turn into solid players at the major league level thanks to good development, really. And so I'm just really happy that he came. The Dominican was eliminated, so Doval is going to head back to the Giants now. Jock Peterson on Team Israel, they were eliminated, so he'll head back to the Giants now. Wasn't the same story for the New York Mets, who lost closer Edwin Diaz to an injury celebrating after Puerto Rico beat the Dominican in the WBC, and he had a complete tear of the patellar tendon in his right knee and is going to miss the season most likely. And so just a awful development there. So coming up in just a minute, I want to discuss that and just the overall conversation about, is the WBC worth it when you're talking about star players getting injured in a tournament that, you know, the teams, you know, the Mets are the ones like paying Edwin Diaz this year, and he wasn't playing for them. He was playing for Team Puerto Rico. And so we'll get into that whole conversation in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by Ultimate Pro Baseball GM. I love this app. In fact, it saved me because, as you know, if you listened to yesterday's episode, my power went out. And one of the things about this app is that you can download it, and once it's on your device, you can play it without Wi-Fi. And so it's something I spent a lot of time doing, just working on that team, starting from scratch, being the Giants, and you can just do everything that a GM does. And that's really how I like to kind of think as a baseball fan in general. You're talking about signing players, hiring coaches, dealing with team chemistry, facilities, and on, starting from scratch, actually starting from a poor point where your team is the worst team in the league and you've got to build them up. So it's just so much fun. The Lockdown hosts were competing against each other to see who can build the best team. I would encourage you to do the same because it's a lot of fun to be able to talk trash if you're better at building out that franchise. So Locked On Giants listeners can get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. Download the game. Just visit probaseballgm.com, scan the code, which is below if you're on YouTube, or look it up in the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, here we go. We're going to just get into this conversation. I see people on Twitter are freaking out about what other people on Twitter are talking about. I don't know. People are going to have bad takes to everything. And so I try not to get wrapped up in that, but I guess, you know, it was bound to happen. If there's an injury in the WBC, of course, people are going to talk about how that we shouldn't have the WBC and that it doesn't matter. These games are kind of fake, meaningless games, but obviously they're not. If you watch any of these games, which I have been watching, they're a lot of fun. And, I'm rooting for that United States team. They do advance out of their pool, and now they're going to play like single elimination games the rest of the way. If they lose, they're done. If they win three more games, they win the championship. And so it's been a lot of fun. Not fun watching Edwin Diaz get hurt. And like, what's crazy though, it'd be one thing if somebody like, you know, a starting pitcher was just kind of working through a couple stressful innings and then ended up leaving with elbow soreness or something and needed Tommy John. But the way that Edwin Diaz got hurt, I mean, it's just a freak accident. And it's easy to blame the WBC, but I really don't. It's kind of a crazy thing. He got injured jumping up and down celebrating. And I don't know how you completely tear your patellar tendon by doing that, but he did. And it was an ugly scene. He was sitting on the ground. His brother was crying on the field. Just sad that they won this game, and then immediately it turned to like a really ugly thing. Taking down the Dominican Republic, big rivalry there, and the DR was like the total favorites in this tournament, at least up there with some of the other powerhouses like the US and maybe Japan. But I don't know, it just stinks, but I don't really blame the WBC. I think there are certainly ways. Like, the issue with the WBC is teams don't want, especially, like, I think about the United States team, and they're just having a hard time getting, like, pitchers, basically. Like, starting pitchers. The best United States, like, American-born pitchers are not on that team. We're talking, like, Adam Wainwright started the first game, and I was kind of worried about that. He's throwing, like, mid-80s. And, you know, beyond that, I liked, you know, Lance Lynn is a good pitcher. He's on that team. I forget who started the game that they got blown up by Mexico. It wasn't Wainwright and it wasn't Lynn. And Merrill Kelly started last night. So they're just not the best collection of starting pitchers. Their bullpen, they've got some really good arms there. But the issue is, like, you're not necessarily getting the best of the United States. The hitters, it's a different story, and I understand that. It's the pitchers that teams worry about more with injuries, and it's basically like they're not usually throwing highly competitive pitches at this point of the year, and you know they're normally building themselves up. And the thing is, adrenaline takes over. They're competitors. These games, that's the problem from a team's perspective, is that they understand that the players take these games very seriously. And so it's just different than spring when you feel like you can take it easy and kind of listen to your body. Whereas when those competitive juices start flowing, you start to lose rational thought sometimes, and you enter competitive mode. And that's, I think, when you can be susceptible to an injury, maybe push through something that you feel, or just kind of throw harder than you probably should or whatever. But so far, we haven't seen that. Like, Edwin Diaz didn't get hurt from pitching. He got hurt from jumping up and down, which, you know, he could have gone to a concert and been jumping up and down to the music and hurt himself in the same way. Obviously, it was on a baseball field. It was like, quote unquote, during a game. But still, I don't blame this tournament for that. It's just a very fluke and unfortunate thing. But if there's some kind of way to allay teams' fears about pitchers, because it would be nice, like this tournament has been so great, but the one thing that's missing is just having the best pitchers play on Team USA, essentially. And it's easy for me to say that, and yet I said I was kind of happy when Logan Webb, who was a perfect example of this, he agreed to it initially, but then he backed out. And I don't know, I definitely believe the Giants probably had something to do with that in terms of trying to convince him not to play in this tournament. And so, as great as it is, that's the one issue I see. But I think part of the problem with, I think guys are just going to want to do it though, moving forward. And part of the issue with why they didn't necessarily get the best pitchers this time is it's been so long since the last WBC because of COVID. But this time, you know, the players are aware. If you listen to Mike Trout, Mookie Betts talk about how much fun they're having with this tournament, players are seeing that this is something that I should want to do. And so I think given that the next one's going to be much closer in proximity than the last one was to this one, we'll probably see even, it's just a snowball effect where, you know, at first the U.S. team had a hard time putting a great team together. And now it's like the lineup is one of the best lineups of all time, but the pitching isn't quite there. But I think next time you might see, especially established guys like who just are just, they can make their own decisions. And it's not like Logan Webb, it's a little different. But if you're like Clayton Kershaw or Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander or whatever, you can kind of call your own shots there. So I don't know. That's just my feeling on that. But overall, it's a lot of fun, and Team USA is still alive and a lot more games still to come. And I can't wait. It's a great way to pass the time in spring when these, you know, spring training games are pretty sometimes boring and meaningless, but the WBC very much not meaningless. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's that time of year. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. Also, subscribe on YouTube. Hit the bell notification to get this show to be reminded of it every single weekday. Anyway, really hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks again for listening. See you tomorrow. You are now Locked On Giants.